in the Sunday school time with this passage of Scripture, and he shared it with us then. And TJ in his reading read the passage of Scripture, the Psalm, where again and again it said, "For His mercy endureth forever." And we find in this chapter of the Word of the Lord a psalm of praise as well that our Lord has directed our hearts to today. Brother Thomas sang and led in the choir, "I just can't praise Him enough. And Lord, I'm still amazed." We sing, "I'll never forget the day when the Lord saved me." We've been praising Him since we got here this morning. Now, everything's not always easy, and everything's not always... we're not without burdens, and we're not without cares, and we're not without struggles, and we're not without battles, but we're also not without the Lord. And we praise Him not because of our circumstance, but we praise Him because He's God in our circumstances. And we don't always have to rejoice in the present. There are times when we can just flat out rejoice in the power of God in spite of the present. And I appreciate all that God does for us. I appreciate Him being my Lord and my Savior. I appreciate Him being my sweet and dear friend.
Amen.
And I talked to Brother Jim Ramsey up there in Ontario, Canada last night, and again this morning, just a few moments. And he was talking about what a privilege it is for the Lord in the midst of the night to wake him up and just say, "Son, why don't you just sit up just a little while and talk to me?" And he said, "It's such a blessing to sit in the dark in the living room with everybody else is asleep and talk to the Lord, and the Lord wide awake and interested in everything that I have to say."
Amen.
It is a blessing to know such a sweet Savior. I'm thankful that He's mine and He is forever. And there's not a thing in the world that every devil in hell can do about it this morning.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that I'm saved.
Amen.
I want to read Psalm 100 in your hearing. It is a psalm that many of you could quote by memory. I know there's at least two little girls in the building that can quote it by memory, because they do just about every night at my house. Amen. And the smallest one, she can't talk much yet, but she says thank you pretty good. She said it this morning about 3 o'clock in the morning after we finally gave her a bottle that she had grunted and hollered for about an hour, and we're trying to make her go all night without it. We finally gave in and gave her that bottle, and she drank it all, and then she held it up in the air and said, "Thank you. That means get rid of it. I'm done with it now." But she can't say the 100th Psalm just yet. But we're reading from Psalm 100. If you're able and willing, stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Psalm 100, beginning in the first verse, going through the end of this psalm. "The Word of the Lord said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Folks that are afraid of noise down at the house of God are not scriptural. I mean, the noise is not going to hurt anything. One man said, "God is not hard of hearing." I like what Brother Eddie says, that the Lord is not nervous either. Amen. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness." Come, isn't it amazing how many folks serve Him in misery? Look like a mule, been chewing on saw briars all day. Look like they lost their best friend. The mother-in-law's moved in with them. They realized they wrote 3 bad checks. One was to the church, one was to their employer, and the other one was to the IRS. That puts you in a bad state now, won't it? I mean, but He said, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with the singing." I thank God for good singing. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves." I've preached on this next phrase a number of times. "We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." A lot of preaching to be done in the latter part of verse 3. Verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." That's what Brother John's talking about in Sunday school this morning. "And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." And verse 5 tells us why we do all of these things. "For the Lord is good." And He is this morning. "For the Lord is good. His mercy," Brother TJ, "is everlasting." His mercy endured forever. His mercy endured forever. 26 times, Brother TJ read this morning that psalm. "His mercy endured forever." And in Psalm 100 it said, "His mercy is everlasting. If His mercy was just for a little while, we might make it to heaven, stay a couple of years, and Him decide to put us out. Amen. But I'm glad His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth unto all generations. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord this morning. Wonderful, wonderful psalm in the Word of the Lord. I'm taking my text this morning. I will use many of the verses in this psalm all throughout the psalm and to try to share with you some things from God's Word. But the phrase that He uses in verse number 2 is particularly what I'm interested in. I suppose I preach from almost every verse of this psalm and the different messages from this psalm and every verse. But in verse number 2, I find a phrase that says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I'm preaching about coming before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. And now, I do know some preachers that don't much like singing, but I'm not one of them. Amen. I like singing. Amen. And listen, I know some singers that don't like preaching, but I don't have much confidence in them either. Amen. I like singing and I like preaching. And I'll tell you something else. I know some folks that don't like Sunday school, but I like Sunday school too. From the start to the finish of all that goes on at the house of God, I like it all. Amen. And this verse said, come before His presence with singing. Now Psalm 100 is one of the most quotable and notable of all of the Psalms. The Psalms were, if you can, you would call it this, the hymn book of the people of Israel. These Psalms were songs and poems and prayers that cover many different events in the lives of God's people. There are Psalms that relate to the night experiences of the people of God. There are songs about great trial and triumph. There are songs about the silences, my friend, of God when the troubled saint can find no answer. There are songs, my friend, about the divine deliverance of God. There are songs of great praise as well as psalms of great problems. You see, life is a roller coaster with times of plenty as well as times of need in our lives. And in the book of Psalms, we find songs in times of health and in times of sickness. We find songs of degrees and songs of worship. Some songs were written to be sung, my friend, with specific instruments, with joy, and others to be sung with a somber tone, or maybe even were written in a minor key. We find songs of mercy, songs of love, songs of grace, songs of power, songs of glory, songs of deliverance, songs to be sung in times of triumph, as well as songs that are sung in times of tragedy. But in Psalms 100, we find a song of praise, a song of thanksgiving. And it's a song of praise and thanksgiving that goes beyond our current situation, goes beyond trials and triumph. It's a song of thanksgiving and praise, not because of where we are, but because of who He is. Not because of our situation, but because of our Savior. Oh, my friend, and when you cannot praise God in your situation, everything that happens is not good. God works all things for good, but everything in itself is not good. And when you cannot praise God in your situation, I'm thankful we can still praise Him in our Savior. And my friend, I love Him because He hath heard my prayer and my cry and my supplication. He'll hear us when we pray. Even in the dark nights, He's worthy of our praise. He's the same God of the mountain as what He is of the valley. He's still our Savior. I like what the woman did, whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And the Lord said unto her, it's not meet for me to take the children's bread.
taste their truth, Lord. That even the dogs have to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I was preaching last night to those men in prison, and it just struck me about that verse. You realize when there was 5,000 men that needed something to eat, and Jesus asked Philip, he said, when shall we buy bread? Have these and they eat. And Philip said, if we had 200 penny worth, it would not be enough that everyone might receive a little. And Philip said, the need is great. Our supply is small. And if we had a great supply, we don't even have 200 pennies, nor do we have the bread that it would buy. And if we did, it wouldn't be enough. Philip said, the need is great. Our supply is small. We don't have enough. He looked at the loaves and said, we need more if we're going to feed them. That woman whose daughter was vexed with the devil, Jesus said, it's not meat for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. But she said, true Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Philip said, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, it wouldn't be enough that everybody could get a little. That woman said, if I just had a crumb of bread and Jesus to go with it, it'd be enough. Amen. Oh, my friend, hey, your present circumstance may be marked by limited resources, but we're not marked by a limited Savior. Amen. And we can worship today, if not in our situation, we can worship in our Savior. He's God, regardless of what's going on down at your house. He's God, regardless of what's happening in your life. He's God, regardless of the struggles and the battles and the problems you face. Our Savior is still God, and it hasn't taken Him off His throne, not even for 1 minute. He's still God, friend, and we're to come before His presence with singing.
Amen. If you think you have nothing to sing about, most everybody else will know it. Did you hear what I just said? If you think you don't have anything to sing about, most everybody else will know it. It'll show up on you. Amen. I mean, friend, whenever you think I have no reason to sing, oh, Brother John is talking about them inspirations this morning. How about this for another song from them? The inspirations made an album. The title of the album was 1974, 1975, I think it was. The title of the album was The Inspirations Have Something to Sing About. The title song on there was I've Got Something to Sing About. Jesus made heaven my home. I'll tell you, I've got something to sing about this morning. Amen. Come before His presence with singing. If you think you have nothing to sing about, it shows. It'll show in your lack of singing. Amen. I mean, I watch and find that some people never sing. Some say, I can't sing. Hey, is it that you can't sing? Is it that you won't sing? Or is it you just don't care to sing? Oh, my friend. I remember a man that coached ball when I was a kid. And he was a good man. But he wasn't hardly able to talk. When he was a young fella, he drove his car. And my friend, up under a chicken truck, up under one of them transfer trucks that hauls the chickens around, on them chicken coops after they caught them in the poultry houses. And he drove his car up under one of those fellas. They had run a red light. And he hit him and cut the top of his car off, nearly decapitated the man. He had a box in his throat, and he talked to miserably bad. You could hardly even understand what he's saying. He'd put his finger in his throat to talk. I mean, friend, it sounded awful. But I went to church one afternoon at a homecoming service, I think it was, over Mount Zion up there in New Georgia, and he's standing behind me, and the congregation stood up to sing glory to His name. That man grabbed his book. Now you say you can't sing. That man grabbed his book with one hand, stuck his finger in his throat with the other, and he said, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Oh, my friend, hey, it was not on key. It was not on pitch.
speech. But I tell you, it was a joyful noise. Would you come before His presence with singing? If you've got something to sing about, it'll show up when you sing. And if you think you have nothing to sing about, it'll show up in your lack of singing. Singing is vital to worship. Some folks said, I don't like all that singing. Had a man tell me and Brother John one day. He said, I know I show up late for church all the time. Brother John remembers this. He said, I know I show up late for church all the time. And he said, it's all right. I said, I don't really like the singing. Said, I come to hear just the preaching. Oh, well, now there's a lot of folks comes to hear the singing and don't want to hear the preaching. I guess he balances them out. But he said, I come just to hear the preaching. Of course, then he went on to say, he said, now if there's a dollar to be made, I'm going to be doing that. Oh, my God, help us. I'm going to tell you, singing is vital to worship. And good singing will set the stage for preaching. Good singing will make preaching easier. The reason why we ought to practice, somebody help me out now. Reason why we ought to learn all we can about music. Reason why we ought to give our very best in our songs. Reason why you ought to try to memorize and learn your parts and do the songs as well as you can and sing, my friend, with your very best and give it your best and sing with volume and sing with joy. It sets the stage for preaching. Oh, yes, that's right. Singing is vital to our worship.
Amen.
Come before His presence with singing. Amen. Oh, my friend, if you think you have nothing to sing about, it shows in your lack of singing. But I've got something to sing about. Amen. How well it shows in lackluster singing. Amen. I mean careless, lackadaisical. I'm just going through the motions with no true worship involved. And now worship is a personal thing. It's not just a church thing. Just because you're in the worship service doesn't mean you're doing any worship this morning. Just because you're in the church does not mean you're worshiping. Just because you held a songbook in your hand and mouthed the words and might even been on the tune, that does not mean you've done any worshiping this morning. Worship is a personal thing, and God seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we ought to worship Him in our singing. We ought to praise Him in our singing. And if you have either a lack of singing or a lackluster song, my friend, it's a sign that you think you have nothing to sing about. You think you do. Lackluster singing and the lack of singing can be caused by a worried heart. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Amen. Tell it to Jesus alone. Sometimes the songs we sing minister to you and help you to be able to sing. Sometimes you can't sing some of the songs we sing with the same fervency as others because another may be the one that's ministering to your heart at the moment. But we sing the songs we sing together with joy and praising God. And many times when you can't, it's because of a worried heart. But I'm glad you can cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you today. Many times we can't sing because of a worn heart. Do you know what it is just to be tarred? I'm not talking about tired, T-I-R-E-D. I'm talking about just slap dab tarred. Amen. I'm talking about so tarred that you don't know if you're going to be able to put your next foot in front of the other. I know what that's like. I know what that's like today. I got in from prison early this morning, and then my friend, and I tried to lay down and go sleep. I laid down. By the time I started dozing, Julia started grunting, and she grunted and dozed and wiggled and headbutted me then until about 3:30, and I went to the other end of the house and laid down and went to sleep. It was time to get up and come to church this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm tarred. And sometimes you get tarred, sometimes you get tired, and sometimes you get slam tarred. I mean, friend, listen. Lord, sometimes I get up to preach and I feel like I can't crank out another word. There's no way I'll be able to finish that message. Last night I was a preacher, and my friend, by the time I got nearly done, I felt like there's no way I could finish it. But the Holy Ghost let me know there wasn't no way I could quit till I did. And I preached on through. And somehow or another, when I summon strength from the Lord, from the glory world, there's a power that enabled me. I tell you, sometimes you don't feel like singing. Sometimes you don't feel like shouting. Sometimes you don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes you're worn physically. Sometimes you're worn spiritually. Sometimes you're worn emotionally. Things have not gone the way you want in life. Our times are difficult for you financially. Maybe your family's filled with struggles and troubles and heartaches. You didn't anticipate it'd be this way. You would have never chosen for it to be like this. But can I tell you, God knew about it before you ever got there. If you'll sing, my friend, Paul didn't want to be in jail. Silas didn't want to be in prison. But at midnight they sang anyway. I'm sure they were tired. I'm sure they were tired. I'm sure, my friend, they were weary and worn. But they sang, and God moved. Would you sing in a midnight hour? Would you sing with a worn heart? And God will bless your soul.
That's right.
Amen. Some can't sing because of a worried heart, a worn heart. Some can't sing because they got a worldly heart.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me this morning? They can sing them worldly songs. Hey man, if they were to start playing some of them worldly songs they listen to on their iPods and radios and CDs, boy, they'd pat their foot to that. They'd get all sorts of upbeat about that. They'd get ready, my friend, to cut a rug over that. Oh, but then you sing the songs of Zion, it don't do nothing for them. That shows you've got a worldly heart. You can say, oh, I love Jesus so much. But my friend, whenever the songs of the world move you more than the songs of the church move you, it's a sign your heart's in love with the world and not in love with Jesus. Amen. That's exactly right. When God saved me, I fell in love with the songs of the church. Hey, and the saving Americans, when I just had God saved, put out a song that said, I still get a thrill. Everybody, when they sing Amazing Grace, I still get a thrill when I think about how He saved me. I've been saved now nearly 22 years. And I still get a thrill here tonight of what Lord's God, how the Lord God of heaven's done in my soul. And my friend, hey, and if the songs of the world move you, and more than the songs of the Lord, that's a sign you're not right with God. You have a worldly heart. Somebody said, oh, I can't kind of preach it. Well, you have to blame the Bible. And the Bible's what says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that loveth the world, the love of the Father, is not in him. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. The flesh is at enmity with God. And if the songs of God don't move you, the way the songs of the world move you, then you have problems with God.
Amen.
You have a worldly heart, worldly heart. Well, I'm trying to get done with introduction, and I'm going to preach to you this morning. This song, come before His presence, with singing. We're all affected to some degree by our circumstances. It's not always easy to sing. Now, we've got some in our presence, some in our midst, that seem like all they got to do is open their mouth and songs just come falling out. And we got some that open their mouths and harmony parts just come falling out. Some just seem to be able to sing. It's so natural for them. So easy for them. They don't have to work hard at it. Some just seem like it's so easy. I mean, I sing hard. Y'all know that I sing hard. I preach hard. Matter of fact, everything I do it hard. I either do it hard or don't do it at all. Either do it wide open or I don't do it at all. You come watch me cut grass. I mean, it's the same way working around the house. I don't care if I'm digging a hole. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I either do it wide open or I don't do it. If we're going to do it, let's do it and get it done and get it over with.
and do it with all our might. Amen. I mean, I do everything with all I've got. And my friend, singing not always easy for me. I'll try to sing those lead parts, and you, some of you fellows and some of you ladies will get lazy on us in the choir, and it starts to get a little high, and you'll get falsetto and quiet and sound like a mouse. And my friend, give it all you got. Just sing. Listen, hey, if a fellow with an old growling voice like me can put a little extra breath into it and hit them high notes, praise God, you can jump up there and crow with me. Amen. Oh, but friend, hey, there are times when even still my singing gets affected by my circumstances. We become discouraged because of the length of our valley. Have you ever got to the place where you said, Lord, is it ever going to end? Is it ever going to get any better? How long will it be this way? Oh, my friend, we become disappointed because things don't turn out as we wanted. We become disquieted because we no longer expect a good end. If it's gone bad this long, all it can possibly do is get worse. The winds and waves are often boisterous. But see, we've not drowned yet. We're still afloat, amen. The boat may take on some water, but thank God the Lord's still on the ship. He's the captain of the vessel, amen. You may feel forsaken and alone, my brother child, but He never leaves us, and He never forsakes us. Oh, my friend, would you just see God, and then you can sing again.
Our song has a lot to do with our perception of God. We all would agree intellectually that He's sovereign, all powerful, all knowing, ever capable, and often our circumstances shroud Him. We're like David talked about in Psalms 119, like a bottle in the smoke. A fire raging all around us. Smoke has clouded our vision. We're unable to see our way out. We're like Saul in the Old Testament, and we're lost and hid among the stuff. I mean, we're like that man that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 13, trying to look through the glass darkly. I mean, we just don't have a clear vision of the Lord, and oh, how we need that. Still, there are many things, even in those situations and circumstances, we should be and could be thankful for. I mean, we live in the greatest country in the world. We live safe in a world of tension and disaster. And my friend, we still drive in spire $4 gallon gasoline. Somebody say amen right there. We have food, clothing, and shelter. Most of us got so much food, we need to quit eating so much of it. Amen to that. Oh, my friend, we still have more than we could ever deserve. But being thankful for these temporary things, these carnal things, will not sustain you when the trials of life begin to bombard you. You see, we've taken for granted, and our spiritual eyes become fixed on our problems. A steak dinner becomes just another meal. Our transportation becomes just another automobile. Our home becomes just another building. Our freedoms become a blessing unnoticed. And our rejoicing turns to heaviness when we lose our song. We simply don't do the motions of worship. We often become less like the people of Psalms 100 and more like the people of Psalm 137, who hung their harps on a willow tree and said, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Amen. Isn't it amazing how we can lose sight of God because of stuff and circumstances? I asked Brianna the other day at the hospital, I said, "Where's your dad today?" She said, "He had to go to work." I said, "Why in the world did he have to go to work?" She said, "Because he's got to pay the bills." I said, "What bills is that?" She said, "Well, the house bill, the light bill, the phone bill," and I started naming them off too, the water bill, the tax bill, and then the automobile. Amen. I mean, friends, sometimes you can get lost in the bills, and you can get lost in the stuff, and you can get lost in the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and other things entering in, and it chokes the word, becomes unfruitful in your life. But my friend, our song has to be deeper than just saying,
God for the natural things. Because then when you're lacking in the natural things, you haven't got anything left to thank God for. But if your song is rooted in who He is and what He is, and to my friend the great power that He is, as Psalms 100 tells us for it to be, then you can rejoice when things are thin financially. Oh, my friend, you can rejoice when the wallet gets thin. You can rejoice when the checkbook is near empty. You can rejoice even still when everything is not the way you really wanted it to turn out.
Amen.
Our song is to be a song of worship. Come before His presence with singing. We're not singing just about stuff. We're not just singing about gifts. We're singing about the giver this morning. Our song should be Christ-centered. That is, it's about Him and not about us. Our song should be Christ-directed. That is, we should sing to Him and not to one another. Our song should be Christ-honoring. That is, it should be enthusiastic for Him. Not us. Not singing about how wonderful we are. And my friend, but know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. What causes us to sing is just to know that He is God. Who He is. What He is. We've got a song if we'll sing it.
Yeah. Brother John mentioned that night of inspiration. I was listening to that with my girls this week. These Are They that he mentioned this morning is Gracie's favorite song. While upon the Isle of Patmos, John beheld a glorious sight, a number which no man could number, praising God both day and night. She sang it. We sung it this morning, this week, I guess, every morning when we school back and forth. I mean, sing it. And then at that night of inspiration, Brother Martin say, let's sing another chorus of it. And they'd sing it again. And then they'd sing it again. And then they'd sing it again. What a blessing. But in the middle of all that, when he introduced the groove, he made this statement, and I like it, and I agree with it, and it's for our sermon this morning. He said, the inspirations have a song. And he said, it's a good song. It's God's song. It's a gospel song. It's a glory song. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad we got a song this morning. And I'm singing about Him. The psalm shows us the reason for our singing in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We can sing because He's God. And my friend, because He's good. Verse number 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. He's good. He was before all things. He will be after all things. And by Him all things consist. He controls. He's forever the sovereign of the universe. He made us. We didn't evolve. We're created in His image. We're the crowning element of His creation. And we that are saved are His people. We're His children by birth. And my friend, by faith in Him and a new birth, He loves us with an everlasting love. We're the sheep of His pasture. As sheep we are led and we are fed in His pasture. And we're, my friend, He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We are His and He's ours. He's our shepherd and we're His sheep. He watches over us. He protects us. He cares for us. He carries us. I'm so glad He's God. And God is good. I'm so glad He's my God. He's my shepherd. And God is good. You mean to tell me if you know that, you don't have a song to sing? If we know that, we can come before His presence with singing.
Amen.
The old timers would tell me when I was first started pastoring, Brother John's grandma would say, I believe we're going to have a singing down there the first Sunday night of the month, ain't we? That's what she'd say. She would say, I believe we're going to have a singing. They didn't have singings or concerts. They had singings. Amen. I believe we're going to have a singing down there at the church first Sunday of the month, ain't we, preacher? And praise God. I thank God for some singing. Amen. And I can sing. I sing because there is an empty grave. I sing because there is a power to save. I sing because His grace is real to me. I'm glad I know what it is to be able to sing this morning. We sing because His God and His good. We sing because His God and His merciful. At verse number 5, that's where I'm preaching right now. The Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. His mercy endureth to all generations. Amen. Thank God. Because of His mercies we're not consumed. He hath not rewarded us after our iniquities, He said. And my friend, God has been better to us than we deserve. And He's surely been better to us than what we've been to Him this morning. I mean, if we all got what we deserved, we'd be in hell with our necks broke. But thank God. God for mercy, because His mercy is everlasting. His mercy is new every morning, and His compassions fail not, Jeremiah said. No matter how much we fail, He forgives. His compassion fails not. He loves as no man is capable of loving. And when He looks at us, we know a lot of faults, but if you're saved, He sees Jesus in us. And says, I find no fault in Him. Oh, His mercy is great. We are robed in the righteousness of the saints. This morning, amen. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Thank God for His mercy. And my friend, we can sing because He's God and He's merciful. God is great. God is good and God is merciful. Amen. That's an old song we sang in a choir when I was just a lad of a boy, as my grandpa would say. I'm just a boy preacher, my great-granddaddy would say. Let's sing that song, God is great. God is good. God is merciful. And He is, friend. He's a wonderful Savior. And then finally, I'm closing. We can sing because He's a God of truth. It said He's good in verse 5. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. I'm glad we have the truth. Oh, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? It's this right here. Amen. It's the blessed word of God. Thou sanctify them by thy truth. And Jesus prayed in John 17, thy word is truth. The word of the Lord is light, and all His works are done in truth. Thank God for the truth. We have God's word to guide us. I don't know what to do. How about doing what the Bible says? Amen. We have His word to guide us. We have His promises to encourage us. I don't know how I'm going to keep going on. Well, I think if you just believe the Bible, friend, there's a promise to encourage you in here. Oh, yes. We have God's word. We often believe we can die by it, but we don't trust Him to live by it. But my friend, His word has been magnified above His name, and what He says will come to pass. It endures every attempt by Satan and wicked and evil men to discredit or to change it, in every jot or tittle it shall be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. We've got a song to sing because we've got His word. He's a God of truth. I wonder today, have you lost your song? I'm done preaching. Would you come with a song? Have you hung your harp on the willow tree? Have you given up and given out? Have you decided that just don't know if I can sing anymore? I've had so many conversations over the years. I remember back several years ago, a preacher that I preached revival for. Matter of fact, I had preached revival for him only a couple of months before this conversation. His wife is the one, when he was lost, that led him to the Lord. And after 20-something years in the ministry, his wife told him, says, I'm tired. And I don't want to be a preacher's wife no more, and I'm leaving. And she was his spiritual hero. She's the one who led him to the Lord. And he said, "Preacher, I don't know if I can preach anymore. I don't know if I can do anything." He said, "I don't know if I can even sing, go to church." He said, "I'm just so discouraged and downhearted. People are giving up, getting heavy hearted, losing their song." Brother Jim told me this morning, he said, there's a time in his life when he got so discouraged with the sinfulness and wickedness and evil going on around him. He said, "I just decided it was useless. I wouldn't serve the Lord." He said, "I got so miserable I couldn't stand it." And he said, "But I'm so glad today that I can sing." I wonder, do you have a song in your life? I mean, not just at church. I'm talking about in your heart, do you have a song? What if we turned loose of the service right now and all started home? Would you find yourself somewhere or another, maybe stopped at a red light, patting your hand on the steering wheel and singing a little bit of the songs we sung this morning? I just can't praise Him enough. Have you lost your song? You got something to sing about. You might not be able to see it. You might be like a bottle in the smoke. You may be clouded by all of the storm and the fire and the trouble that's going on around you. But you got something to sing about. We are to come before His presence with singing, not because of what we have or because of what's happening in our lives, but simply because of who He is. We've got something to sing about. If you need to talk to the Lord this morning, maybe get your song back. Would you come? Kneel around this altar. Stand to your feet. What's her number here, brother?
Psalm 133. I feel like traveling up.
If you need to talk to the Lord, would you come this morning? Cast your care before Him. He careth for you. I feel like traveling up.
Sing. My heavenly home is bright and
the glittering tires, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. I got a dear friend getting his first taste of it this morning. Woo! And if he could tell you something, he'd say, "Just keep on singing and keep on traveling." Brother Jeff would say, "You wouldn't believe. I sung about it, but it's better than I expected." Amen. Oh, I feel like traveling on. Let's sing that last verse, the one that says, "The Lord has been so good to me." Amen. And I appreciate everybody coming this morning. I wonder if you obeyed the Lord in the meeting this morning.
And you know, while you're preaching, you're talking about all the songs you have a song to sing. There were so many songs posted to me in Scripture on Facebook and through text. Of course, one of them was a shepherd's point of view, and just keep praying. And you know, and I had so many going through my head, and we have 3 McCamey CDs that I put on my computer. That's all I had access to at the hospital besides a radio station that you never know if it was going to play or not because of the slow internet. and I'm listening to a song and I'm thinking,